News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Hi, Sienna.
Hello.
What school do you go to?
I go to St. Patrick's Cathedral Grammar School.
And how old are you now?
I'm 16.
Do you play sport? Can you play sport? Is there a place to play any kind of sport?
I would like to play sport. I feel like growing up I wanted to play sport, but there's not really enough facilities and chances for me to play sport. Especially being like a girl, there's a lot less football teams and stuff around my area to play.
Yeah, but there are no green spaces anyway.
No, there's nowhere. I think the closest is like up in like Dublin 12.
Yeah, which is a bit of a trek.
Yeah.
So you would love to have been involved in sport. Any particular sport?
Well, football, and I'd like to swim. I don't know how to swim, but I think I'd like to learn how to swim.
How many of your friends know how to swim?
Well, in the Dáil we were talking about this, and I'm in a group of 22. There's 22 of us, and only 2 of them can swim.
My goodness.
I know.
Where is the nearest pool?
I couldn't even tell you.
There's no one handy, that's for sure.
Yeah, I actually don't really know.
Yeah. And playing football, many, many girls are playing football now.
Yeah.
And there's no place to pursue that?
No, not close by.
Now, you're coming, believe it or not, towards the end of your school career.
Yeah.
So it's kind of unlikely that anything will be done for you before you leave school.
Yeah. My main point was kind of more for like the next generation. Like, I'm going to have a niece in a few weeks and I kind of want her to grow up with the facilities that I don't have. I feel like that would be kind of my main mission.
Do you feel, you know, living where you live, that you're really not looked after by the powers that be?
Not really. I don't feel like... I feel like they know we're there, but they don't really take any action towards us. Like, they don't really care for the people living there. It's more for people who can come down and, like, spend money and stuff, you get me? Rather than the young people in the area.
Mm. So when you have free time, what do you do?
Well, when I was younger, we kind of used to just like climb into places that we weren't supposed to be because there was never anywhere open. Like, there's a football pitch that's locked up at, I'm not even sure it is, but we used to climb over rather than, because we don't have the key, so we weren't allowed in it.
You weren't allowed in?
No.
But you kind of made your way so in to, if you could.
To have a game of football, we had to climb over a big gate to get into it.
Now, that's the voice of young Sienna, who's approaching the end of her school days, as I said. We met her in the Liberties on a recent visit because we've been reporting extensively on the issue of a lack of playing facilities in Dublin 8. We visited 2 potential sites, one at St. Teresa's Gardens and one at Marrowbone Lane. Well, joining me now to discuss the issue is Minister of State at the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts, and Sport and Media, Thomas Byrne. Minister, good morning and welcome.
Thanks, Pat.
Now, first of all, do you agree that it's a scandal that so many thousands of children are deprived of what other children in other areas absolutely take for granted?
Yes, I do. And I also don't accept that it's only Dublin 8. I think that this is an issue around the country, particularly in suburban areas, the likes of which I represent myself, but also in various areas. We do need more sports facilities, recreational facilities. We have targets at government level to reach 60% adult participation in sport. We can only do that if we have more facilities. And that is a problem.
But it's pretty chronic in Dublin 8.
I accept that.
It's also pretty chronic in Dublin 2. And although there are public parks in Dublin 2, Fairview Park is not that far away. In Dublin 8, Phoenix Park is not that far away. But it's not the same as having local pitches where kids can safely walk or cycle to those facilities. It's not the same.
I agree. And we do need more facilities close to where people live. I mean, clearly there are constraints in central Dublin. I mean, if there's no area to put a green area, that is obviously a problem and it can't just be created from buildings. I do know that Dublin City Council have a number of plans and you've mentioned them. What I would like to do certainly is invite Dublin City Council to apply for funding to implement some of those plans. We've had the sports capital programme, which is we've received the largest number of applications, the largest amount of money sought. That closed last September. Dublin City Council did apply for a number of projects, a relatively small number of projects, I would have said, probably smaller than I would have expected from such a large area. But we will be soon opening the large-scale sports infrastructure fund. Now, I've heard from Dublin City Council, I don't know what they'll prioritise in that, and they will have to prioritise their applications. They have spoken a lot about Dalymount Park, but they will also be able to apply for significant funding for playing facilities under that fund.
The money, you say, might be forthcoming if they apply, but the question is where. They have, the locals who are lobbying have isolated two sites, one at Marrowbone Lane. Dublin City Council said, oh, no, this is a vital piece of their infrastructure for servicing the city. We were up there, we had a look at it. There's a great view from a local sports club right over the area. There seem to be a lot of sheds, a few lampposts that are stored there for, I suppose, replacing those that are damaged and so on. A dozen or so parked cars belonging to presumably employees of the council. There wasn't a lot happening on that space, and yet it's been, you know, vital according to Dublin City Council for its services.
Yeah. That's again, I can't overrule Dublin City Council on that, but I'm quite sure that the local representatives in that area are presumably putting pressure on them to make sure that that's utilised in the best interest of the city, which includes the best interest of children and adults who want to participate in sport. As I understand it, there are sites there that could be developed relatively quickly, particularly in Dunora Avenue.
This is the St. Teresa's Gardens site. Now, there is already a green patch there. We saw it. It is in dereliction now, awaiting the eventual development of the St. Teresa's Gardens site.
As I understand it, the sporting facilities there can be done separately. Now, again, Dublin City Council will have to take the lead on that. But if they came to us with an application for large-scale sports infrastructure funding, we'll be opening that fund in the coming weeks. I can't give any guarantees over the radio, but clearly we want to make sure that there are more sports facilities in areas where there are none. So I would strongly urge Dublin City Council to examine that.
You see, I think they are wanting to do everything of a piece. In other words, they'll develop the housing and the facilities all at the same time, which would delay the arrival of a sports facility in Dublin 8, maybe up to 2027, 2028, 2029.
Well, my understanding is, just talking to some of my colleagues in Dublin City Council, that there is a possibility of Dublin City Council submitting a planning application for the development of a municipal pitch and changing rooms through the Part 8 planning route, which is more straightforward. And that's,
they apply to themselves for planning permission.
For that project, separate from the rest of the development. And what we would be saying under the Large Scale Infrastructure Fund, it will be a slight change. Like, we won't necessarily require that projects have planning permissions, particularly when they're coming from a local authority, because the local authority presumably has the means to go and get planning permission for these sites. So it is likely that it won't be necessary for them to have planning in place to apply for funding under this. They'd have to show it's deliverable. The local authority is able to show that these projects are deliverable. So that is something that, again, Dublin City Council will have to consider. They will have to prioritise. The way that fund works is that we ask the local authorities around the country and the national sports governing bodies to prioritise their projects. Which do they want to see developed?
So you say you're throwing it right back in Dublin City Council's court. You're saying, listen, the money will be there. If you're
I can't approve projects over the radio, and I'm not doing that.
Sure, but you're saying that if the application comes in, even without planning permission, but with
if it's deliverable.
Yeah, if it's deliverable.
And if a project comes in from a local authority, there's a certain element of deliverability there already, because a local authority is generally speaking able to do these things. So I would strongly encourage them to do that, but they're going to have to prioritise. And I certainly want to see. Like, we've had, you know, there's a lot of talk about all these major facilities that we need. But what we actually need, and this is in Dublin 8, but it's also up and down the country, and again, I'm not including in a lot of suburban areas too, Pat, where there's a lot of houses built. We need more facilities for kids and adults to play on, to move, to participate. And we certainly want to see that. And they're not as costly, actually, as you think. I mean, these are relatively small projects that achieve a lot of good, and we want to fund them. We have, as I said, we've had applications for €359 million for sports capital. By some distance, that's the largest application ever. And we're currently in discussions with the Department of Public Expenditure to see how we can meet that expectation. So I would expect that this year we will be announcing a lot of grants for sports capital. There are people who have applied for last September. Okay. Dublin City Council have applied for about 10 projects, I think, under that. There may be other clubs in the City Council area. But the there is an opportunity in the coming weeks to play under large-scale infrastructure, and that does include these types of facilities. It's not just stadiums.
As Minister for Sport, I'm sure you've had to cut the tape on a few facilities around the country since you took over that office. In your experience, how long would it take to develop this? I mean, this is not, we're not talking about a big stand like Parc Eguive. There might be a small covered area for people to spectate while training is going on and so on and so forth. But in your experience, are we talking about maybe a two-year project? Is it doable?
Look, I'm not talking about Dublin City Council specifically, but my experience up and down the country is that when communities are given the power and the autonomy to do projects themselves, so like in a typical rural area, the club owns the ground, they get a grant from the government, there's volunteers in there, these projects get done. And quite frankly, through the local authority system, some of it is necessary bureaucracy, of course, through procurement rules and all of that. And we have that, by the way, for the clubs too. But it just seems to take a lot longer with local authorities. And I think we need to prioritise this because, yes, we have to get housing out there. Absolutely. And more than anyone, we want houses built. We have to make sure the facilities are there and to go into areas like Dublin 8 and the suburban commuter belt as well to make sure that we retrofit whatever we need to retrofit.
Yeah, I mean, part of the problem is that they're going apace with housing, be it student housing or be it apartment building in the private sector and some, of course, public private partnerships. But even when I look at some of those, the amount of green space that is now being planned into them is zero. I'm sure you're aware of this, but they count the balcony as part of your recreation
space.
This
is a problem. Look, certainly in my own county, I think it's 15% needs to be green space. But the difficulty is no one really gives thought as to what that's used for. So they add up every little patch of grass, which, quite frankly, a lot of which...
That is disgusting.
By the way, do you know
there's a roundabout included in one apartment development?
I believe it. And what we've got to do now is really start talking seriously. Do we want a little patch of grass, a tiny one in front of our estate, and there'll be maintenance issues for years, or do we actually want to provide parks and facilities that benefit everybody in the community? And I think there's a real question of urban design. I think urban design is at the heart of all of this, whether it's housing, transport, sporting facilities. How do we design our urban areas for the greater good? And we've got to think a lot more about that.
Okay, now if Dublin City Council does apply for this funding and if it's forthcoming, how quickly, first of all, might a decision be made? I'm not asking you to commit to anything, but typically how long does that process take?
The process for the large scale funds would certainly take less than a year. This is what we hope to do at the moment. It's not quite finalised. We hope to open the applications in the coming weeks. We would hope to give particularly local authorities maybe 2 to 3 months to apply for the funding. Then it takes a relatively short period of time to assess them because these are larger projects. This will not be a club typically. It could be, but generally speaking, it's not an individual club applying. It's local authorities or national bodies of sports organisations. So it typically doesn't take too long. But again, I'm not going to give any promises on that. And there wouldn't be as many applications. Look, the most famous applicant that hasn't applied yet, of course, is not open. Bohemus, Daleman Park, Dublin City Council have been talking about that project. That's the same fund I'm talking about. It's not just stadiums, but the council, this is critical, the council and the sports governing bodies have to prioritise their application. Now, they have to say to the department, this is number one, this is number two, this is number three, etc.
I can anticipate what the council might say. They'd say, we are redeveloping St Teresa's Gardens along Donore Avenue. It will be a construction site for several years. And in terms of health and safety, can we actually allow kids onto a pitch that we might develop in advance while there are diggers going in and out and all the rest of it? What do you say to that kind of caveat? Because health and safety is important, but it's not beyond the wit of man and woman to make things safe.
We've really got to get serious about this. As I said, as I understand it, the council is willing to look at this separately, just talking to colleagues. Again, I'm not involved in the detail of that, and the government departments would never be. But if they're willing to do that, if they applied, if they're successful, there's no closing date on the grant, and that's another problem that we can discuss separately. We don't want council sitting on it, but the grant doesn't run out either, which is
a problem the money is in escrow, if you like, pending it being drawn down.
And we don't want that. However, on the flip side, at least we don't say you have to have it done within 6 months or a year,
use it or lose it.
Yes, I would love that, Pat, to be quite honest with you, because we've had grants out for over 4 years now, and now COVID and construction inflation didn't help them. They're finally getting off the ground, some of those, the previous round of large scale infrastructure. But this is a constant battle within the department.
Even if they were to get the St Teresa's Gardens pitch up and running within, say, let's be ambitious. If they got the money promised within a year, that doesn't mean that they couldn't spend other council funds if, you know, if they had a will, waiting for the grant to come through with the assumption that it was coming through. You know, many householders have to do that. They apply for an SEA grant, but they, you know, borrow from the bank or the credit union to put the windows in before the grant actually comes through. So, I mean, they could get going if they had the ambition. They could be smartish about this.
Well, Dublin City Council, above almost all of the local authorities, would have the capacity to do this without even applying for a grant, probably, because the sums involved are not massive compared to building a stadium, for example. So I think that they could do this, I would say, if, again, it's entirely a matter for them as to how they allocate the resources and what grants they apply for.
Some of the questions coming in, the community centre in Dunor Avenue was one of the very few places where kids can play sport. It burned down by accident in 2021, but that centre is still not back up and running. I mean, what do you know anything about?
I don't, and that's a matter for Dublin City Council. They have to do it. Presumably they're dealing with insurers, but again, if they want to come to our department on sports funding, then I've said it.
I'll read you some of the comments. Dublin City Council have consistently neglected the children in Dublin 8. These are some of the most vulnerable children in the country. These children are preyed upon by criminal gangs. It's essential that the work is done now. Sporting liberties are actually changing and saving children's lives. That's from Fine Gael Senator Mary Siri Carney. And that business, we said it when we were down there, better to be a member of a team than a member of a gang.
Oh, absolutely. Better believe it. I would also like to make sure that we're sweating all the assets in the city centre. Now, I don't want to sort of pick out, say, Blackhall Place or Trinity or other institutions in the city centre. I don't know to the extent to which they allow in the local community. I just simply don't know. For all I know, they're brilliant. But I think we need to make sure that we're linking in with all the organisations that have space in every area of the country. And we're certainly, I'm also in the Department of Education. We're trying to make sure that we're linking in with schools as much as possible around the country. But that is a key part of it. And the Phoenix Park as well, Pat. I mean, the Phoenix Park, okay, it's not right. It's not in the middle of the liberties.
It's well used. But the point is
well
that was made.
But it's well used, Pat, but there's also plenty of other space there as well.
No, I mean, there's plenty of space for developing bits and pieces. But the problem for the residents is if you've got an 8-year-old. Now, when I was an 8-year-old, a different era, I have to say, we were allowed range far and wide along the Phoenix Park. But, for example, there was a place we were warned about called Lonely Man's Alley. You can just imagine why we were warned against there. But there were all sorts of things. There was a dog pond. We could have fallen in and drowned. You know, there was all sorts of hazards. But it was a different time. We were allowed to roam free. Many parents do not want their kids, say, for example, leaving around Francis Street and making their way down Parkgate Street up to the Phoenix Park just to kick a bit of football. Do you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. What I'm, I suppose, referring to is the constraints that are there that I'm sure are acknowledged by everybody. Like, you know, we're talking here about two or three individual sites in an area that's badly served. So we are going to have to, you know, expand the map there and to make sure that we can have as many facilities as possible.
Sad, depressing and scandalous, the amount of wealth washing through Ireland in the last 30 years and kids remain deprived. I actually don't like this country anymore, says one. John says, here we go again, everyone in their silos talking to themselves. The minister should be in Dublin City Council talking directly to its officials. You cannot kick words around a pitch. Get on the ball, minister.
Look, I mean, we give in the last sports capital and the last large-scale infrastructure fund, you're talking about nearly 300 million of money for sporting facilities around the country. The ask in now for sports capital is actually in excess of that. We'll have another ask in terms of large scale. There's massive demand out there and the government has been responding to it. And we're very serious about this because we want to make sure there's facilities there. Yeah. So I'm happy to meet anybody. I have spoken to colleagues. But we have a system of government here and local authorities have to take responsibility for this. And we can put pressure on them. But most importantly, we can fund them. And we are in regular contact with the local authorities around the country about the provision of sports facilities and with the Department of Housing as well. I've had meetings with Dara O'Brien, try to see how we can expand the possibilities for local authorities making and creating recreational and sporting facilities.
It's funny though, we were in one local school, a brilliant school, but the recreational facility they had, Minister, for the kids playing primary school, about the size of this room you're in now. the control room and this room, that's about the size they had to kick a bit of football or do whatever. I mean, it is shocking. And yet there's been, you know, permissions for block after block of apartments. Who will in time create children who need schooling? And we've got student accommodation, we've got hotels, all sorts of developments in Dublin 8. And for recreation, zilch.
Well, I say my door is open for the Dublin City Council to apply for funding to put in the necessary facilities and space that they have.
Some more of the comments. The phasing of the works can be done, isolating a safe area for play. It's done in private developments all the time. Any health and safety concerns are ridiculous and show an inability to manage and an inflexibility to deliver for the people. That's one comment there. Another one, as a 40-something with a six-month-old daughter who loves Dublin City, I'm majorly put off buying in Dublin 8 as there's nothing but developing high-rise towers going into the area. What happened to the green space environments? My son has to go to Harold's Cross for football. The likes of Harold's Cross, Lourdes and Crumlin and other clubs are past capacity due to kids coming from Dublin 8 more interested in putting in cycle lanes and student accommodation than providing play areas for kids. My son plays for Liberty Saints rugby. Nothing for them down here. And so it goes on and on. I mean, the people are getting more and more despondent at the inactivity of Dublin City Council for them.
Well, I strongly encourage Dublin City Council to come to us for funding. We want to fund these facilities. And I think when the large-scale sports infrastructure fund opens, I mean, the question will be to every local authority, what are your priorities under this fund if you're applying for funding under this?
Minister Thomas Byrne, appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.